الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, in the seventh year after the Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een had migrated from Makkah to Medina, the Sahaba had laid siege of the fortresses of the Yahud in Khaybar. It's a very lengthy expedition. You can read in the books of Seerah the entire campaign, the expedition of Khaybar, when the Jews had broken all agreements, they had become disloyal, they had broken the pact that they had made with the Muslims. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent the Sahaba to Khaybar. Few of those fortresses were conquered. The last fort Sahaba had laid a siege around, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala'an was made the leader. He tried desperately, but he was not successful. He returned. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala'an as the leader. He also makes a great attempt, but he is also not successful. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the Sahaba. And he says, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That tomorrow I will be giving the standard, the flag, and make him the leader of this group. Such a person who loves Allah and His Rasul, and Allah and His Rasul loves him. The Sahaba say, that night every Sahabi, they began to discuss that who is going to be this very honored person who loves Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah and His Rasul love him. Everybody desired to be given this honor. It is mentioned in the books of Seerah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala mentions, مَا أُحِبُّ الْإِمَارَةِ. I never ever desired to be Amir in my life. I would rather be under a leader, under an Amir, but not to become an Amir, except on this particular occasion, because of this great virtue and this great blessing that Rasulullah mentioned, that tomorrow I will make the Amir, I'll give the flag to such a person who loves Allah and His Rasul, and Allah and His Rasul loves him. What an honor. He wished that he should be given the flag the next morning. The next morning Rasulullah addressing the Sahaba, he asked, Aina Ali, where's Ali? Sahaba say he's not well, his eye is very sore. Nabi said, no, call him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes, presents himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his mubarak saliva, his lu'ab, and he places it, rubs it on the eye of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala'an, wa baraka, and he makes dua for baraka and shifa. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala'an was cured immediately. And he would say that he could see the rest of his life better with that eye than the other eye. Then Rasulullah ﷺ gives him the flag. Remember, they are going to conquer the forts of the Yahud, who were treacherous. They'd broken all agreements. They'd broken all the pacts. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is about to proceed. And he says, on what must I fight the enemy? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ali, unfudh ala rislik. Take it easy. Before you attack anybody, ud'uhum ila al-Islam. Fad'uhum ila al-Islam. Give them invitation to Islam. Give them da'wah to Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حِمْرٍ نَعَمْ. O Ali, if Allah uses you, and Allah guides through you, Allah makes you the means of the guidance of just a single man, just one man, you became the means of hidayat for him. He was not a Muslim. Now he embraced Islam. Because of your invitation to him, because of your worry, your concern, that this person must also be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And he must also be gain entry into Jannat and Paradise. If you become the means of just one person getting Hidayat, it is better for you than possessing red camels, the most precious commodity at that time. Now if we ponder over these words, I give you a very brief background of Khaybar. Ponder over this beautiful golden advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Ali, if Allah makes you the means of one person's hidayat, guidance, it is better for you than possessing red camels, precious camels. Let us question ourselves. From this morning till Jumu'ah, have we become the means of any person's hidayat? Did we bring any person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not today, yesterday, last week, last month, from the beginning of the year, in all our life, the number of years that we lived in this world, have we ever become instrumental, the cause, the means of any person being saved from the fire of Jahannam, coming into the fold of Islam, and inshallah gaining entry into paradise? Have we ever become the means of bringing somebody out of sin and vice and evil? Have we spoken to him with affection, with love, with rifq, with lutf, with hikmah? Have we touched any person's heart and brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua. طُوبَى لِمَنْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرُ وَمِغْلَاقًا لِلْشَرُ. Glad tidings be to that person whom Allah makes him a key to good and a lock to evil. مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى هُدًى. That person who guides any person towards the truth, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the ma'rifah of Allah, towards the love of Allah, towards the beautiful deen of Islam, he brings him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shows him some good deeds, some righteous deeds. كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أُجُورِهِمْ لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. You invite somebody towards guidance. He changes his life. He becomes a namazi. He begins to perform his 5 times salah in the masjid. He begins to recite Quran and make zikrullah. He goes for hajj and umrah. You get the reward. And nothing is diminished from his rewards. Why? Because you became instrumental in him becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this burning question. Have we become a means of hidayat for mankind? Let alone mankind, any single person, have we become a means of his hidayat or her hidayat? Not long ago, there was some brothers from Madinah Munawwara. And one of the brothers had explained, he had gone to France not long ago. And he says, when he was in France, he was told of a person, a young man from France, who was a non-Muslim, living a life totally away from believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had no deen. He lived a very carefree life, a life of disobedience, vice and evil. He didn't know anything about Islam. What is Islam? He didn't know about Kalima La ilaha illallah, the virtue of La ilaha illallah. He didn't know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah, tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah. He did not know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the final Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyin. On one occasion, he is standing at the station. And suddenly, and he mentioned this person was totally far away from any type of deen in his life or coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he happens to see a woman on the other side, dressed in full hijab. For some reason, he became curious, inquisitive. He thought, what is this? Who is this? Covered from head to toe. Face is covered. She's wearing a black garb. So he goes over. And he asks her, who are you? What are you? So she replies to him in French. She happens to be born, a French woman, born in France. So she tells him that I am a Muslim. Muslim, what is Muslim? So she tells him, one who is following Islam. And very briefly, she tells him in a nutshell what Islam is all about. Then she has to leave, she proceeds. But when he leaves, he becomes very, very interested, curious. And he begins to search Islam. So he goes to different people who he knew, who were Muslims, after finding out that these are Muslims, brothers from North Africa, who were working nearby in some factories. He asked them, they gave him some explanation. He was still not satisfied. He went to the library and he began to research about Islam. But still he was not very satisfied. He was still genuine, he was sincere, and he wanted to learn more about Islam. This is when hidayat comes into a person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to guide a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him restless. Just look from where it started. He observed this Muslim woman dressed in full hijab. She invites him, or she tells him something about Islam. She probably invited him towards Islam. They left. Now he goes to a masjid. In that particular masjid, there were brothers there who were out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem. And they were busy reading the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he entered. He sat down there. He introduced himself. They became acquainted. They gave him dawah, full dawah of Islam. He embraced Islam. Of course, they told him after that what to do, take a ghusl and perform his salat. He spent a few days with them. And he became a Muslim. But he did not stop there. Now he had this burning desire within him that let me invite others also towards Islam. He saw this beauty, the beauty of Islam. He saw the importance and the value of kalima la ilaha illallah. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. A reciter of kalima, one who has iman, he will enter into paradise. My brothers, there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When some people of this ummah who are believers, but because of their sins, on the day of Qiyamah, when they will not be pardoned initially, they will also be thrown into Jahannam for a period of time, which we ulama explained as tathir of dhunub, where they will be cleansed of their sins. So why these believers who will be in Jahannam, and they will be gathered there with the people of Jahannam, in other words, the disbelievers. So the disbelievers, the kuffar, in Jahannam with the believers who were sinners, the disbelievers will begin to question them and sort of taunt them. Weren't you believers? Weren't you mu'mineen? Why are you here also with us in Jahannam? So obviously they will feel this remorse and pain that these people are taunting us. They have got no iman. We had iman and we're still in Jahannam. Obviously, because of the sins. This is when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into full force. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then removes all those who have iman. All those who have iman, Allah removes them from Jahannam. When these disbelievers see that, then they express the desire. If only we were also believers. If only we also had that iota of iman, then we too would have been removed. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ With the disbelievers in Jahannam will express the desire. Aye. If only we had iman. If only we brought Islam in our lives. We accepted and embraced Islam. Then we too would have been in Jannah. We too would have been removed here from this perpetual misery. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So the value of this kalima, the value of the iman, will only be realized then. Yawm al-hasrah. My respected brothers and elders, this brother then goes out and invites many others towards Islam. And he goes out in the path of Allah regularly with the other brothers. Spends 3 days and then 40 days and 4 months in the path of Allah. And he becomes a strong da'i. He becomes a very strong da'i. Brothers tell him, now you need to get married. He says, no problem, but you find me a woman who is also a da'i. I want to marry a woman who also has fikr for her deen. She's not complacent. She does not sit relaxed and just perform her own ibadah. But she is worried about mankind. She has that burning worry and concern and fikr that Rasulullah SAW had, that the Sahaba had. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ Surah Al-Kahf. Allah says, perhaps you are actually killing yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in pursuit of the iman. You are being so concerned when the person you have invited and he rejects your invitation, he does not bring iman. Rasulullah became restless. He was never at ease. He was never satisfied. He went again and again and again and he knocked at his door. He knocked at his door. قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ You'll become successful. He went to the marketplaces. قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا It wasn't an easy task. Behind him, he has his uncle. Abu Jahl goes behind him. And each time Rasulullah invites the people towards Allah, towards Tawheed, oneness of Allah, towards believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting Iman, accepting Islam. He cried, he preached, he begged them. When he would terminate from behind him, this uncle would come and say, O people, Ya ayyuhan nas, kazzibuhu, reject him, فَإِنَّهُ كَذَّاب, he's a liar. Each time, he tried to break the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have we not heard and read and shed those tears when we read the story of Taif? We read it in the books of Sirah. It brings tears to our eyes that how Rasulullah SAW tried his level best when he left Makkah and he went to Taif and he preached and gave them the dawah toward Islam. But they chased him away. They hurled stones at him. Sent their dogs behind Rasulullah SAW. The vagabonds were sent behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's bleeding profusely. He falls unconscious. A beautiful dua is made. Read the dua Rasul made. How he complained only to Allah. Allah sent an angel. I can destroy the people of Thai between the two mountains. He says no. Bal arju. But I have hopes. أَن يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شِئًا. I have great hopes that Allah will one day take out from the same people of Thai, from their progeny, people who will bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And exactly like that, that is what happened. His own enemy. Brothers, we would like to share with our friends. But people who torment us, persecute us, ridicule us, mock at us, hurl insults at us, harm us, we will definitely move away from such people. Rasulullah ﷺ was so desirous of the iman of every person. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentions, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا. He was haris, he was desirous, أي يؤمن جميع الناس, that the entire mankind bring iman. There's a beautiful incident. Again, we're going to have a problem with the time. His beloved daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's married to a person by the name of Abu al-As bin Rabi. At that time, this is the beginning of Islam. It was permitted to marry a non-Muslim until the laws of nikah came down much later. So Abu al-As bin Rabi is a disbeliever. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's a mu'mina, daughter of Rasulullah sallam. She's living in Makkah with her husband. Hijrat is made. Sahaba come to Medina. Battle of Badr takes place. Amongst the captives is Abu al-As bin Rabi, who is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallam. It's a long incident. They have to pay ransom for their freedom. So as the these prisoners were sent ransom from Makkah by their family members, they paid off their ransom and they were freed. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala sends a ransom for her husband. When Rasulullah receives that ransom, فَرَقَّ لَهَا رِقَّةً وَبَكَى لَهَا بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. He began to cry. Why? It was a beautiful necklace that belonged to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Zainab, her daughter, got married, Khadija gave her this as a wedding gift. This is the only thing she had. Give it, and my husband will be ransomed. Nabi Sam cried. Sahaba, Ya Rasul, what has happened? He sees this necklace. It reminds me of my Khadija. Can we give Zainab back her necklace? Sahaba said, yes. But on condition, he says, Abu al-As, send my Zainab to me. That's the condition. Let her leave Makkah and come to Madinah. She will live with me. He says, agreed. He goes back. He prepares his Zainab, his wife, to leave now. He sends his brother Kinana. Kinana, you take her. Escort her, and on the way, Rasulullah had sent Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala and another Sahabi. At a certain valley, you will meet them and you bring them to Madinah. As she is leaving Makkah, it is broad daylight. She's mounted on her camel. She is pregnant. Abu Sufyan and some of his men, they see her. Oh, in broad daylight, you have the courage to just go away to Medina and migrate in this way. He's still talking to her when another person by the name of Habbar ibn al-Aswad, he takes out his spear, he goes forward and he begins to poke that animal, the camel. It becomes excited. It begins to jump. Zainab radiallahu anha loses the balance. She falls off the camel. She aborts her child. She's injured. Kinana becomes angry. Takes out his bow and arrow. Anybody dares come forward, I will shoot him. He's also a non-believer. Nonetheless, she's taken back home. Abu al-As bin Rabi, her husband, becomes upset. After a few days, when she gains some strength, then she's escorted, and like that she reaches Madinah Munawwara. The story does not end here. The son-in-law of Rasulullah, Abu al-As bin Rabi, accepts Islam at a later stage. And we're not going to discuss that now. We are going to discuss Habbar ibn al-Aswad, who is the enemy of Rasulullah Sallam, who hurt the daughter of Rasulullah Sallam, who made her lose her and abort her child, miscarry her child. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was desirous even of this man's iman. Even he must not go to Jahannam. came the day after Fatih Makkah, conquest of Makkah. On one occasion, Afaji Irana, suddenly Habbar ibn Aswad comes forward to Rasulullah sallam. Sahaba see him. They're about to attack him. The Bism says, wait. Habbar goes forward. And he pronounces the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallam, I was going to join the non-Arabs. I actually escaped from here. And then I realized that you're such a wonderful person. You're such a tolerant person. You're such a forgiving person. And I decided to embrace Islam and ask you for forgiveness. Rasulullah says, "Qad afawtu ank." I have forgiven you. And you are most welcome into the fold of Islam. Habbar ibn Aswad becomes radiyallahu ta'ala. He becomes a sahabi. My respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example of a person who lights a fire. He says, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ. My example of inviting you towards Allah, calling you towards Allah. أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ دَعْوَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. It's like that person who has lit this fire and suddenly moths and butterflies, they go around this fire almost burning their wings and burning themselves. When this man warns them off, he pushes them off to save them. He says, exactly like that. The fire of Jahannam has been kindled. It is burning. وَأَنَا آخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ. And I am holding you very firmly by your hips, by your waist, pulling you away from Jahannam, turning you towards Jannah, pulling you away from Jahannam. But oh my ummah, you still want to break loose from my hands? You still want to plunge into the fire of Jahannam? This was his worry. This was his concern. This is our worry. This is our concern. That brother in France, when they told him to get married, and he wanted a wife who was also like that, they said, yes, we'll find you somebody like that. He goes to a proposal. A proposal is arranged. He's sitting on one side, and she is on the other side. And when he goes, this woman is also covered in full hijab. So then he asks her a few questions, and then she asks him a question. She tells him, tell me, what made you embrace Islam? So he gives his whole incident, how he was living a life of sin and evil and vice, totally away from Islam and Iman and Deen, until he saw this woman and who invited him to Islam, and he gave the whole story. My brothers and elders, it's no fairy tale. She then tells him, brother, that same woman who you had seen on the platform, that was myself. He gets married to her, and both of them make a very great effort, inviting many, many others towards Islam, connecting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time has already expired. There are so many instances in the life of Rasulullah sallam, in the life of Sahaba, how Sahaba sacrificed their lives, their comfort, their homes, their food. They underwent starvation, pangs of hunger. They undertook great long journeys, tedious journeys, all for the sake of passing on this deen to others. So everybody else can also be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This was the mission of Rasulullah sallam. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is my way of life. I invite towards Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, with conviction. أَنَا myself, I do this. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Those who claim they follow me, those who are my followers, also will not sit relaxed. They will also call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who could be better in speech than that person who invites towards Allah, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, who does righteous deeds, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and he submits towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He surrenders himself and he says, I am a Muslim. Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayh, mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, he would say, who is this person? Who is this inviter towards Allah? Wallah, it is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, he said, هذا حبيب الله. This is the beloved of Allah. هذا ولي الله. He is a friend of Allah. هذا أحب خلق أحب الأرض إلى الله. He is the most beloved. أحب الخلق إلى الله. From all the creation of Allah, he's the most beloved to Allah. In the end he says, هَذَا خَلِيفَةُ اللَّهِ. He's the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it is mentioned, in Kanzul Ummal, on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ. Should I not show you some people? That anbiya لَيْسُ بِأَنْبِيَا وَلَا شُهَادَا. They are not prophets, they are not messengers, they are not martyrs. يَغْبِتُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاء وَالشُّهَدَاء. But on the day of Qiyamah, Anbiya and Shuhada would be desirous of such people. They would wish that they were sitting in their position, because they would see their rank. Of course, Anbiya have the highest rank, and of course the Shuhada next. But these people will have such prominence on that particular day. لَهُمْ مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورِ. They'll be sitting on pulpits made of noor. Like how we desire a person who becomes Hafiz of Quran. I'm already a Hafiz of Quran, alhamdulillah. So many huffaz, people are ulama and muftis. But when a person is finishing his hifz, having khatam of his hifz, at that moment you desire you was in his place. Because of that honor and privilege. So like that there will be desires of these people. Sahabas, man hum biha Rasulullah. Who are these people who have such honor? Rasulullah SAW explained in the hadith. He said, these, الَّذِينَ يُحَبِّبُونَ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيُحَبِّبُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَى عِبَادِهِ. They are the ones who make the bandas, the servants of Allah, beloved to him. And they make Allah beloved to the servants. Who are these people? يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ نُسْحَى. They walk on the earth with pain. They have this pain in their hearts, concern. They have this altruistic nature, nasiha. They well wish. They have this burning concern that every believing man, every believing woman, must become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those people who have gone far away from deen, they must become closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have not embraced Islam, they too must be coming to the fold of Islam. This is the occupation. This is the worry. This is the concern. My respected brothers and sisters, time has already expired. There's so much more to explain about our object in this life, our responsibility. If we have not wakened up to this call, let us not deprive ourselves, because Rasulullah has given the example. There is a ship with an upper deck and lower deck. The people of the lower deck require water which is stored in the upper deck. So each time they go and they keep on troubling, disturbing the people of the upper deck for the water, they feel bad. They say, you know what, we're not going to keep on troubling them. Let us dig a hole in the bottom of the ship and we can take plentiful water. Why must we trouble the people on the top? If those people on the upper deck, if they realize and see what mistake these people are doing, and if they stop them in time, they will anjaw anfusahum, they will save themselves, wa anjaw, and they will save these people. Otherwise, they will be destroyed. These people will destroy themselves, and the entire ship will sink. This is what we are required, my respected brothers and sisters. That is why the ijtima' is taking place tomorrow, inshallah, in Ladysmith. Tomorrow after Zuhr, inshallah, it will commence Monday, inshallah, around Zuhr time, it will terminate. Brothers, let us go to these gatherings. Thousands of people make salah together. Last week we heard this invitation by Maulana Salim Karim from Ladysmith. He extended the invitation to us. But brothers, let us make this fikr and this worry and concern our daily worry and concern. Attend the ijtima'. Even after that, how we can become true inviters towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.